beautiful.
Let us sit again. Please be seated. Turn with me to 2 John. We're going to read the second part of 2 John this morning. We focused on the first part 2 weeks ago. And so this morning we're in 2 John verse 7 through verse 13. Let us listen carefully to God's word. His word never returns to Him void. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him greetings, who give him a greeting, participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face so that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, from our recent studies, I hope that you have seen and realized that the attacks of Satan on the Church of Jesus Christ is severe, that they are severe, but also that it will continue until the end of times. You know, Revelation chapter 12, if you read that chapter, there we read what Satan's strategy is right now. There we see that the dragon, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, and then he's also called the one who deceives the whole world, who has been thrown down, according to verse 9, that he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. He now attacks, first of all, his attack was on the male child, but then you see in this passage how the attempt was now to the woman who gave birth to the male child. We know the history. We know what happened. That even from the time that Jesus Christ was born, how Satan's attack continued through people to even kill the baby Jesus. Eventually, it did not happen. And Satan was not able to accomplish what he desired to do. So what did he do? He changed his strategy now from the Son of God, from Jesus himself, the head of the church, to the church itself. He now attacks the church because, as verse 10 of Revelation says, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. Satan lost the battle against Jesus Christ, and now he focuses his attack on the church, you and me. Satan's strategy is twofold. He attacks the church from the outside. When the church, for instance, is persecuted, we see those attacks very clearly. Attacks that are from those who hate God, who hates the church. But we know, and we cannot go into detail of that, that the beautiful thing of God's grace is that He continues to care for His church even amidst of those kind of trials, even through persecution. He even let the church grow. We see that in the New Testament after the death of Stephen, a great persecution of the church broke out. But then we read in Acts chapter 8:3, therefore those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Persecuted. But as far as they went, they proclaimed the word of God. Yes, the word of God could never be bound. The second strategy of Satan in his efforts to destroy the church is to penetrate or to infiltrate the church. The strategy is not always that obvious. It is less visible, but it is no less dangerous. This is the tactic to destroy the church from within. So an outside attack, but also an inside attack. And it is important that every one of us is aware of Satan's strategy and its dangers for the church. And especially the leaders of the church have the responsibility to guard against this infiltration. Paul warned, for instance, the Ephesian elders on the day of his departure to be on the lookout for those who deceive. If you turn to Acts chapter 20, and you can make a mark by that, because that is such a beautiful passage. Actually, that whole speech that Paul delivers there to his fellow elders is so passionate. They are even filled with tears as he had to depart from them. And then among those things that he said, in verse 28 of Acts 20, he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood." Something that leaders never may forget. We are not serving in the church as if it's our own. The church is purchased by His own blood. It belongs to God Himself. And we are overseers and need to take care and guard the flock that God has given us. So he continues in verse 29. He says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." You see, then already, and we read it right through the scriptures, even in the Old Testament times, there were those who were true prophets, those who were false. The church is warned against deceivers. The word the Apostle John uses for deceivers here in 2 John 1:7 literally means to lead away, to lead astray. And that correlates with what Paul said to the elders. The deceivers will draw away the disciples after them. That about the strategy of Satan. The deceivers that John warns against is the second thing that I want to focus on. We see here in 2 John very clearly who those deceivers were that he warned against. And I have already focused on that, but I'm going to summarize it again this morning. This is what John says about these deceivers. First of all, he says, they did not acknowledge God as coming in the flesh. We also saw that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 27, and also in chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. They basically taught the opposite of what Arius taught. Arius denied the full divinity of Jesus, and to him Jesus was a created being. He actually said at a point, there was a time when he, that is Jesus, when he was not. The deceivers, these antichrists, John referred to, were denying the full humanity of Jesus. So for them it was okay that Jesus was God, but it is impossible that he could be a human being, born as a baby, born into a sinful world, born of the Virgin Mary. As influenced by other schools of thought, they decided it's impossible. And even the Greek philosophy played a big role into this, because the soul was seen as something pure. That which is matter, the body for that matter, is unspiritual or even evil. So then, How is it possible, they say, that God could take on human flesh, because that would make Him evil as well? So they decided what John was teaching them, the Apostle John, about Jesus, was not the truth. So what did they do? They just changed it. They changed the gospel. They changed the Word of God. The gospel about Jesus Christ that was delivered to the apostles by no one else but Jesus Christ Himself. But John knew what he was talking about. How clear was his teachings, even in the gospel, when he said, "In the beginning was the Word." John chapter 1 verse 1. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Not a God, as the witnesses of Jehovah claims. No, He was God. And then John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So this is the truth about the teachings of Jesus. Teachings about Jesus. You have to believe that Jesus is God Himself. And if you do not believe that He also took on human flesh, you are not teaching the truth about Jesus. Then you are a deceiver and an antichrist. And if you believe it yourself, then you are deceived. So the second thing that John focused on here is that the deceivers did not continue. And that's basically a conclusion. If you don't believe about what Jesus said about Himself and what the apostles taught about Him, then you did not continue in the teaching of Jesus. That's what he says in verse 8 and 9. Jesus is, once again, 100% God and 100% man. That was what John taught. And that was the teaching they received from Jesus. Now John says this. He says, "Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ," listen to this, "does not have God." So this is not a marginal issue. The one who abides in the teaching of Jesus, has both the Father and the Son. Now, true, we cannot left and right call anyone an antichrist. We've talked about that. But remember this again this morning. They are peripheral manners. Peripheral manners that do not strike to the essential of the gospel truth. But then there are those things that do. And one of those things is what you and I believe about Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. We may not compromise on this in any way. John says those, it's almost like a sarcastic kind of remark when he says, when they go too far. But let's not call it that. He says, those who go too far are those who teach their own teachings and not the teachings of Jesus, the plain teachings of the Word. You know, people say these days it's not important to teach or to study theology. Theology is basically the knowledge of God. And to know God is to have eternal life. The matters before us this morning are matters of Jesus Christ and who He is, and of what Jesus has taught about Himself. These matters before us are matters of theology, of knowing God for who He truly is. How could we then ever say it's not important? As a matter of fact, it's so important that John says, if you do not believe the doctrines taught by Jesus Himself, if you do not abide in the teaching of Christ, then you do not have God. If you do not abide in the teaching of Jesus, you both have the Father and the Son. So be aware then of those who, as John says, go too far. Literally saying, those who run ahead. Those who run away with things. And refers to those false teachers who proudly claim to offer advanced teaching that was revealed to them. I think a more present day referral to those deceivers could be those who become so modern, so driven, that they are not longer happy to bring to the flock, to bring to God's people, the simple truth of God's Word and the powerful message of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing. If you figure out by what people are driven these days in teaching, so often they are driven by popularity. So often they are driven by money. And so often they are not driven by the love for the Gospel of Jesus Christ itself. That brings me to the next point, and that is the deceivers of our time. Because something that I want you to know is that there are still many deceivers out there today. Several months ago in my series through 1 John, I actually named some of those deceivers by name and gave you a quick overview of what they were teaching. Perhaps these deceivers do not knock on your doors, as John referred to in this passage. Who are those who so often come and knock on our doors? The Witnesses of Jehovah or the Mormons, right? But how many of them, how many of these deceivers do you allow into your house? Well, John is saying, do not even do that. And I'm referring to your television or your radio. How many do you allow to preach in your living room? How careful are you with what you are watching or listening to? Perhaps you do not encounter many of these false teachers, and I think we should thank the Lord for that, because that is His way also, and by His grace of protecting us. But be sure, those deceivers are out there, and you must be on your guard, always at all times. They are people who claim to have new knowledge about God. Knowledge they say God has revealed to them. Knowledge that changes who Jesus is, or twists the atoning work of Jesus Christ to what it is not. Some of these false teachings you find in the prosperity gospel or in the Word of Faith movement. Don't forget the cults of the Witnesses of Jehovah who believe only God the Father is God. They reject the deity of Christ and the idea that there are three persons in the Godhead. They reject it. Jesus for them is just the created being, as a matter of fact, first created being. He is actually the archangel Michael. And then they also have their own Bible. And then there are the Mormons, Church of the Latter-day Saints, who has their own sources of revelation. Four of them. The Bible, the King James Version, the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, the Pearl of Great Price. And then that revelation, that divine revelation, is not limited to these books, because they also include direct utterances of living prophets that they still have. Their view of God is so heretical. Even though they are such a popular church, focusing on the families and the prosper of family life. For them, the God of this world once was a man who became a God. And Jesus they call the eternal begotten Son of God, which sounds good, but He is not the supreme God. According to their founder, Jesus was an eternal spirit being who, together with His spirit brother Lucifer, was made incarnated to be tested and to become a God. Pure blasphemy. Now those who proclaim a new order of angels that will come down to earth. And some of them, of these television preachers, will say, you know, there's angels out there that are without work. All you need to do is to discover who your angel is and put him to death. Put him to work. Well, put him to death, yeah. That's probably better. You must discover your angel. And if you go on and you look what these men are saying, it is nothing but angel worship, which the Bible warns us against fiercely. Because they continue to say, when this order of angels start working, we will see miracles and wonders as never before, because God will renew His church through these angels. My brothers and sisters, the only renewal that will take place is when we start listening to God's word and obey. The only wonders that will suddenly be performed by men will be done by the power of Satan, as Revelation 13 warns us against. It says the whole world will follow the beast from the sea, the false prophet. There was given to him the mouth, speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name. Verse 4 and 5. And then verse 14, 13 and 14. And of the beast of the earth, the Antichrist, it said, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire comes down from out of heaven to earth in the presence of men. And he deceives. There is our word again, that word of deception. He deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform. Now listen to that. It was given to him. So he's not all powerful. But still. Will you be able to distinguish, to discern? That brings me to the next point, and that is the danger of deceivers. You know, when someone comes to you to share with you their false teachings, they are not going to warn you. That person doesn't show up with a t-shirt or a label. Instead of gators, it says, deceivers, exclamation mark. No. No, deceivers are meant to be deceivers, to be deceitful. Deceivers would make you feel very comfortable. They would have nice personalities. They do not look like the devil. They will use terminology that is familiar to you. Which sadly, so often when people are already pulled in, they realize afterwards what the true meaning of this terminology was. And as John indicated in his first letter, so often the deception starts inside the church. And that is why there must always be oversight over the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Not only by elders, but also by each and every one of you. Each and every one of you must be a Berean and examine the Scriptures yourself to see what you hear is the truth. So watch out for those who offer a new truth that others have perhaps missed. You know why we are blessed to be a part of a confessional church? Because we acknowledge that the Holy Spirit was at work in the church, not only in 2022, but from the beginning, right through Israel's existence, right through into the New Testament, right through in the history of the church. The Holy Spirit was always the one who leads us in the truth. The same truth that Jesus has taught us. And during times in the history of the church, because of heresy, it sometimes becomes necessary that the church write down what the teachings of Jesus was. And that's what the Word of God is teaching us about different things. As they also sat and were in times where they had to defend the truth against deceivers. And so it was even with the writing of our confessions. In a time to stand up against the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church false teachings. But many other deceivers that went about during those times. And in the PCA we find indeed a good expression. We don't say that's the only one. The good expression of these truths in the Westminster Confession of Faith and the larger and shorter catechisms. You know, these confessions, plus the Director of Public Worship, were written by 150 men who were in meeting from July the 1st, 1643, until February 22nd, 1649. Over 5 years. They held 1,163 sessions in Westminster Abbey. And every member of the Westminster Assembly was required to take the following vow, which was read afresh every Monday morning, that its solemn influence might be constantly felt as they were working, studying the Word of God. This is the vow. I do seriously promise and vow in the presence of the Almighty God, that in this assembly whereof I am a member, I will maintain nothing in point of doctrine, but what I believe to be most agreeable to the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's our standards. These are the truths we hold to. We don't have to wonder what we believe. We know exactly what to teach our next generation. That's why we have the shorter, youth's little shorter catechism that we teach to them from a small age. It is summarized from Scripture and it's in line with the Scriptures. It's something we should just thank the Lord for. It tells us exactly where our salvation comes from and that we are indeed only in Jesus Christ saved by grace, by His grace completely through faith. And you know the beautiful thing is that it prevents anyone to come up and stand on this pulpit or in this pulpit and preach whatever he wants. Because already systematically you know, as you continue to study, you know what we believe. Now, if deception, and that's what I'm concluding with, and thus these deceivers, if they are so dangerous, what is it that you and I must do? What is expected of the church if we want to stay healthy and pure? What is our answer to deception? Here are a few practical things that we see from this passage. So that's the next point, our answer to deception. First of all, you must acknowledge the existence and the dangers of deceivers. I pointed that out already. Do not be naive by thinking that everything with the label Jesus on is from God. No, it's not. Do not underestimate the power of deception. Do not think that you cannot fall under that power. Continue to trust the Lord and live close to Him and His Word. And we'll get to that in a minute. Do not expose yourself to teaching and preaching if you do not exactly know what the group or the preacher or the televangelist believes and what the purpose of their ministry is. And when you hear phrases like, sow a seed in the kingdom of God, or God has told me this, walk away. Secondly, know the original. What do I mean by that? You probably have seen programs where people bring their items, their antiques to appraisers, right? To see if there's value to what they have and whether this thing they have is the original. And so often they walk away there in these programs very disappointed because the guy that appraised everything, he knew, this is a counterfeit, this is a fake. Why? Because the appraiser know their tunes. They know the original. In his book, Reckless Faith, John MacArthur used this metaphor. He says, federal agents don't learn to spot counterfeit money by studying the counterfeits. They study genuine bills until they master the look of the real one. And then when they see the bogus money, they recognize it. And that's actually really how it represents well how they operate. So what's the point? The point is this, that you and I will never be able to know all the messengers of deception in this world and every little detail about what they are teaching. That is impossible. There are too many and will continue to exist and even increase as the day of the Lord is approaching. But you and I are blessed to know the original, the Word of God. So let the Word of God abide in us. It was the Holy Spirit that through His Word revealed to us who the Son of God is. It is through the Holy Spirit and through His Word that you and I believe in His atonement and His that experience that you and I are now in a new life in and through Jesus Christ. It is by His grace that we know Him and have eternal life. And if that's the case, then we will remain in the teachings of Jesus Christ, as verse 9 says. That means we must remain in the teaching that Jesus Himself gave, but also remain in the teaching that the apostle gave regarding Jesus. And if Jesus is not preached as the Son of God, or as God Himself, walk away. If Jesus is not preached as God who became flesh, walk away. If you hear that salvation does not include repentance of your sins or submitting to the Lord Jesus as your King, walk away. Knowing the original means you will know your doctrine. You will never get tired of studying it. Read your Bible over and over again. I've been blessed to preach the Word of God for 31 years. And I still feel I have so much to learn. How rich is the Word of God? Knowing the original will help you determine the counterfeit gospel. So who of us can sit here and stand here today and say, I know all I need to know about the Bible. I know the gospel. I know all the doctrines. I don't have to study anymore. You will agree with me that is just foolish talk for a Christian. Because God's Word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. We need God's Word every day of our lives. And it is because the leadership of grace wants to guard you against deception and wants to teach you more about God's Word that we continue to offer you the teachings on Sunday and on Wednesday nights. So why are so many of you still not jumping at the opportunity to come and be equipped? Only through the Word of God, God will give you discernment. You and I have been bought by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church belonged to Him. Don't put yourself in harm's way. Because when the Spirit dwells in you, your desire will be more and more for the Word of God. So, the first one, accept the danger. And how dangerous deceivers are. The second one, know the original. The third, surround yourself with the fellowship of believers. If you look at the last verse, you could see that's how we end, rejoicing in that truth. God also uses His church. And who are that? What is that? It's the people. To continue to encourage you, to strengthen you, and even protect you. So that you could be prayed for if you doubt. So do not isolate yourself. You know, one of the tragic results of a trial like COVID was that people got isolated. But you know what is more tragic? That people got used to it. Please do not. Be people of the Word of God. Do what the Word of God tells you to do. And acknowledge, in other words, if I summarize, the danger of deception. Make sure you study and use all the help you can get to know the original, the true gospel of the Bible. And thirdly, seek after the fellowship of believers. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word that warns us again so clearly today. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to work the truth and the desire for the truth in our hearts, that we would hunger for righteousness more and more, we'd hunger for Your Word more and more. Continue to build us up, Lord, that we would indeed stand firm against the deceivers of this world in this church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 724, Lead On, O King Eternal. Just here in the front just after the worship. Receive God's blessing now and go from here in peace. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.